I'm going to take just a few minutes tonight, but we need to finish with the Word of God. Singing is an important part of our spiritual life and very important part of our worship to God. And all of that is included in Colossians chapter 3, verse 16. If you'd get your Bibles out and turn there, we'll take just a few minutes tonight. I want to give you some things that I trust will be a help to you. When Queen Victoria had just ascended her throne in the 1800s, she went, as the custom of royalty, to hear the Messiah. And she was instructed that her conduct should be such that when the Hallelujah chorus came, she was not supposed to rise because she was the queen. When that magnificent chorus was being sung and the singers were shouting, Hallelujah, 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 for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth, she sat with great difficulty. It seemed as if she would rise in spite of the custom of kings and queens. But finally, when they came to that part of the chorus where with a shout they proclaim him King of Kings, suddenly the young queen rose and stood with bowed head if she would take her own crown from off her head and cast it at his feet. Well, what she did there is very appropriate. And God uses music that has the words that tie to Scripture and that is appropriate music. The Spirit of God uses that to do a great work within our hearts. We have in Ephesians chapter 5, being filled with the Spirit and then singing and making melody in our heart to the Lord. That's part of being filled with the Spirit. And here in Colossians chapter 3, verse 16, we read, Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your heart to the Lord. Why do we sing? It's part of our walk with the Lord. First of all, it incorporates the Word of God in our hearts. Why do commercials use music? It's really amazing. When you think about what is sung about on commercials, it's almost funny. And yet, why do they do it? Because we remember. You tie music to the Word of God and to truth, those truths will dwell richly in our hearts. And did you know that appropriate singing with the right text will be part of how God builds our life? The Panama Canal is a fascinating engineering feat that really stands the test of modern engineering. A series of locks lifts a vessel from sea level over the continental divide between the Atlantic and the Pacific. It requires 7 hours for a ship to go through the locks, a distance of some 50 miles, and once committed, there's no turning back. It cannot go under its own power. It must be guided. Thus, the terrain is made even by pushing up water through a series of chambers, and it connects it in a marvelous way from the Pacific to the Atlantic oceans. And so the rising of the water through those different locks allows those ships to go up and then able to go between the two mighty oceans. And I have found that singing that is filled with scriptural truth, that has melody and appropriate undergirding of different musical aspects to that music, is part of the rising tide within our lives. It's very important. And we need to realize that God wants our singing and music to cause us to have God's Word deep within our soul. You notice the first part of this is about the Word of God, the Word of Christ. Christ is the Word. All that there is about Christ and the truth of the Word of God should dwell in us, should abide in our lives. This is a command. It's in the imperative. Psalm 119:9, Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. And it's a wonderful reality for us to realize that God will change us. Thy word have I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against thee. And so we need to make it our highest duty as God's people to know the word of God. It should richly, fully, deeply abide in our hearts. Our thoughts should be saturated. Our whole perspective on life needs to be biblically based. And music is one of the great ways that truth will be retained and be able to abide in us. This is in the present tense, so it needs to be always in control. So this is a very important command. And it's really a privilege to experience, to think that God's own word, Ephesians 5:19, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your hearts to the Lord. Here is it said, dwell, abide, permanent residence, richly. And it gives us the wisdom in all wisdom. There's so much could be said about each of those words as they speak of a total transformation of thought process to where we no longer think like we used to think. Our minds are renewed, Romans chapter 12, verse 2. We begin to think like God thinks. You realize the Word of God is from the very heart of God, that which man could not himself know, as we find from 1 Corinthians chapter 2. But through the Spirit of God, the inspired Word of God takes the very heart of God, and then when we read it and we're right with God, the Spirit of God in our hearts illumines it to us, and we start thinking like God thinks. Folks, that is an amazing thought. Here, philosophers for years have tried to figure out God, figure out the origin, figure out how life works. And we as believers, no matter what our background is, have the opportunity to actually think like God thinks. It's tragic today when you see all the limitations of human thinking and all the wrong thinking that comes with that. And we should be just thrilled. Oswald Chambers says it well. He has that way with words. He said, if we understood what happens when we use the Word of God, we would use it oftener. And how true that is. Wilbur Smith, who was a tremendous theologian but very practical, said, it will probably astonish many to know that one single normal issue of the Saturday Evening Post, which is not published anymore, but it was like a magazine, contains as much reading matter as the entire New Testament. Thousands of people read the Saturday Evening Post through every week. The number of Christians who read the New Testament through every week, or even one whole book of the New Testament every week, are so few that we need not talk about it. Most believers don't even read through the New Testament in 1 year. And so this whole aspect of letting God's Word change our thinking is tied intrinsically to music. That's why it's part of our services. That's why when we reassemble, we will be singing and we will be hearing music, because it's all part of God stirring our heart and bringing us to an understanding of truth that will abide in us. Secondly, it instills the Word of God in others' hearts. Not only does it change us, but God wants it through us to help us teach and admonish one another. Looking there, let the Word of God dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another through psalms, hymns, spiritual songs. And so from the littlest on up, I love this matter of teaching one another, the 18-month-old, 16-month-olds in our preschool. I'll be hearing music as those dear preschool teachers, through music, a lot of it that way, and through teaching, start instilling in the hearts of those little children the truth, the precious eternal truth of God's Word. And those little children will go home and they'll keep singing that music. Do you realize by 2 years of age, 2.5 years of age, children can have a full repertoire of music that teaches the key doctrines of the Word of God? And that's what God wants us to do. Ephesians 4:12 talks about the leadership gifts are for the perfecting of the saints, equipping of the saints for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ till we all come in the unity of the faith. In other words, every believer is to be part of helping people come to know the truth, the faith, and the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man under the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Music is a vehicle for spiritual truth. It needs to be correct doctrine. Now, folks, we do need to be very careful what Christian music we listen to and we use to teach. It needs to be accurate. We endeavor to be very careful here. I don't have time to go into the right kind of music and the wrong kind of music, but you would be very upset if your pastor started preaching things that were clearly doctrinally incorrect. For instance, one of a very well-known songs of several decades ago in the contemporary realm was For Those Tears I Died. No, it was For Our Sins I Died. And this was written by someone who clearly was not living a godly lifestyle. Several decades ago, very popular at that time, was Let the Walls Come Down by a very popular contemporary artist, Steve Green, at Promise Keeper rallies. But the major tenets of this were unbiblical perspectives on tearing down walls of denominations that were not biblically sound, especially about salvation. You know, Galatians 1:8 says, "But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed." And so we need to understand that we've got to be very accurate. And music has got to be that which brings great reverence to the Lord. We'll see that in a minute. So it was not appropriate to be singing Jamming with the Lamb. I hate to even say that. That is very disrespectful. Oh, let's be careful. Hasn't it been a blessing tonight to hear godly songs? Songs that have ministered to people's hearts. Songs that have come out of scriptural truth. What a blessing it is. Oh, the needs to show the depth of Scripture. There is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunged beneath that flood lose all their guilty stains. And so psalms, that comes from the Old Testament Psalter, the book of Psalms. And hymns were expressions of praise to God coming out of the great doctrinal portions of the New Testament. We have so many of those. And then spiritual songs are those of testimony, testifying of what the Spirit of God has done in our lives. And that we see in Ephesians chapter 5. And oh, how important it is for us to realize that if we're going to be teaching the Word of God as parents, Sunday school teachers, here in the church, being part of the choir, special music, whatever it is, we've got to be holy vessels. An evangelist mentioned that he was once engaged in a series of services in a church in San Leandro, California. That's in the Bay Area there. Looking at the church bulletin, his eyes singled out a single announcement, which was completely correct except for one single G was missing. Choir rehearsal this afternoon at 3:30. Everyone who wishes to sing in the choir must come to practice. And we chuckle at that. But unfortunately, if our lives are not what they ought to be, even the sacrifices of the wicked is sin. Plowing of the wicked is sin. Filthy rags are our righteousnesses. And so we need to be extremely careful that we are teaching the Word of God through the vehicle of music with godly, holy lives. And then admonishing one another. Music can be a great challenge to exhort one another daily. Hebrews 3:13, while it's called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. We need to realize that music, that spirit empowered, if in our family altar, in singing with our children, in our Sunday school classes, here in our church, can be a powerful exhortation. I don't know how many times growing up I would hear music sung by someone that was godly, and I'd be pierced through with conviction. And I'm sure most of you listening to me today would say, you know, that's exactly right, Pastor. I can go back to a time when even just the invitation hymn brought me to deep conviction. But all we need to be admonishing one another to see people change. My father was brought up in a liberal church, but they sang the great old hymns of the faith. And he was just a young child, and he heard Living for Jesus. And God really did a work in his heart. Just an amazing thing. You know, the psalm singing of the Christian martyrs going to their deaths in the arena alerted the Roman Empire to the fact that a new and revolutionary force was coming into being. When the pleasure-bent populace saw the Christians singing as they fearlessly entered the amphitheater where hungry lions awaited them, they were filled with awe. And that is the same way with believers. And then thirdly, here tonight, we'll be done. It increases the worship of God in our hearts. Folks, it just permeates us with the Word of God. It allows us to help others come to know the Lord, and it causes us to worship God and to be God conscious. We find that both in Ephesians 5 and here in Colossians 16. Let me read the verse one more time. Let the word of God dwell, abide in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. So you have this final aspect of worship to the Lord. D. James Kennedy said, most people think of the church as a drama, with the minister as the chief actor, God as the prompter, and the laity as the critic. What is actually the case is that the congregation is the chief actor, the minister is the prompter, and God is the critic. This is a time of worship for all of us, but this speaks here specifically of us individually, and we need to worship God through our music. And so we have to be enabled by the Spirit of God to do that. That's why, folks, I'm not speaking tonight about the wrong kind of music, but if you don't have the right words, and you've got the totally wrong kind of music, if it's fleshly, soulish, the Spirit of God cannot work through it. We might get an emotional high from it, but we're talking about genuine spirit empowerment so that we're going to the throne of God with these truths and praises in our hearts, in which we are not, it's not based on emotion or our mind, it's based upon the reality of truth that goes deep into our hearts, and that's what this is talking about here. Be filled with the Spirit. Ephesians 5:18 precedes that great verse there about singing also in our hearts. And there, it ought to be in our minds. In a Dear Abby newspaper column years and years ago, she shares a letter from R.T. Holland of Los Angeles, who tells of an article from the medical section of Time magazine. The magazine cited a man who went to a psychiatrist complaining that he was always hearing radio broadcasts. Thinking to humor him, the psychiatrist asked, well, what was he hearing right then? The man replied that he was hearing Rudy Vallee broadcasting from the steel pier in Atlantic City. After much questioning, he discovered the man worked in a glass bottle factory and had gotten some silicon crystals in dental cavities. The combination of the silica, saliva, and some bridge work in his mouth had literally transformed him into a walking crystal radio receiver. Well, he was delivered from that as they did a work on his mouth. We think of what that would be like to be having radio signals in our head. But my friends, we need to have a direct link to God where the Spirit of God will empower us to have the music of God be there so that we can worship God, not just know the Word of God, not just teach and admonish others, but actually worship God. I've often said this, but folks, God sings. Music comes from God. It's the very heart of God. And it is going to be one of those moments that I cannot even begin to describe when we are in heaven and we hear God sing. But did you know you've already heard God sing? You've heard Him sing in your own heart as He's empowered you to sing. And you've had Spirit-filled believers over the years get up. It may not have been maybe the greatest musical performance, but oh, the Spirit of God was there and your heart was touched. God was singing. And that's what we need to have, the grace of God, His empowering, that overflow in His hearts. That's why, folks, we cannot have one part of our service that's not Spirit-filled. After attending church with his father one Sunday, morning before getting into bed, a little boy kneeled that night at his bedside and prayed, "Dear God, we had a good time at church today, but I sure wish you had been there." And I'm afraid that's all too common, especially singing by rote, going through the motions instead of worshiping God. Folks, all day long, that needs to be in our heart and enriched by the Word of God. Singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. The grace of God comes as we, by faith, trust God's Word. And the over and over, we find faith in God's Word coupled with then grace. John 4:24, God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. And so, folks, remember, as you are meditating with music, you're listening to music, singing music, God is the divine audience. That ought to affect the choices that we make. And our singing needs to ultimately be to the Lord. And so the choices we make and how we sing and how we even act when we sing ought to truly be that of that which truly honors the Lord. Well, I hope you've seen tonight, just in these quick minutes, we've just gone through this quickly from Colossians 3:16. Why do we sing? It's a big deal. It is God's means for us to know him, to think right, to exhort right, to teach and admonish, and most importantly, to worship God right. And so don't avoid music. Don't be careless about music. Music ought to fill your home. Music ought to fill your life. It is worth working hard to have the right kind of music and to learn music. And oh, may God enable us to let the Word of God richly dwell in us through the music that he gives to us through his Word. Let's bow for prayer.